before I came, do you have a tutorial?
So this is this will be the summation of the laws of the brachos on fragrances, where we want to apply everything we learned and discuss Havdalah. We just want to discuss, for the time we have, the issue of besamim by Havdalah. We're not going to discuss wine, we're not going to discuss candles, we're not going to discuss anything else. We just want to discuss besamim and Havdalah, and hopefully we'll walk away knowing a little bit more about what's going on. The Shulchan Aruch writes in Reish Tzadi Zion, he says, Mevarach al besamim im yeshlo. If you have besamim, you should make a bracha, birchas hareach, on the besamim. What's this based on? This is based on the Gemara in Brachos and Daf Nun Aleph. The Gemara says, by Havdalah you have besamim. Why? Why do you have besamim by Havdalah? There is a better known answer and a lesser known answer. The better known answer is the Rashbam. The Rashbam writes in his commentary on Pesachim and Kuf Beis, the Neshama Yisera. We know that we're given an extra piece of a Neshama on Shabbos, and when the Neshama Yisera leaves our bodies on Shabbos, the Neshama is now saddened, and therefore that which gives the Neshama pleasure, as the Pasuk says, Kol HaNeshama Tahalal Ka. That was the first pasuk we learned when we started this discussion. Kol neshama tahalaka, something that the neshama can praise that the body cannot, is smell. Smell is something that touches the person's neshama, that touches the person's soul in a unique way, for whatever reason that is. And therefore, we smell something that has a pleasant fragrance to give the neshama a bit of sipuk hanefesh, a bit of happiness after the loss of the neshama yaseira when it comes to Shabbos. Right? It makes us less sad. You can sell, based on that reasoning, and all the reasons, you can still have Havdalah without besamim. Meaning, besamim by Havdalah is a nice thing. It doesn't stop you from making Havdalah, as we'll see in a moment. It's a nice thing if you have it for your neshama, good. If you don't, then, you know, tough for your neshama. Not everybody agrees to that. The Or Zaruah, also one of the Rishonim, writes in Siman Sadi Beis, he questions this reason, because he says it's not so clear in the Rishonim and the Gemara that there is such a thing as a neshama yaseira on Shabbos. Not everybody agrees to that principle. What do those who don't understand the concept of neshama yaseira do? How do they explain the concept of besamim by Havdalah? So he says as follows, I don't understand what this means, but he says that the smell of the fire of Gehenim that's reignited in a Motzei Shabbos, that's what this besamim is for. I don't know what to do with that.
To counteract that smell?
That smell. We know that either the neshamas aren't in Gehenim on Shabbos, or Gehenim is cooler on Shabbos, whatever it is. That's why it's a big zuchus for someone who's in Avelis or someone who's Yurtzeit that week to daven for the Amud by Marv and Moshe Shabbos. It's considered a very big zuchus because of the neshama, and it's good for the neshamas that are going back. Whatever it may be, the fires of the Gehenim are reigniting on Moshe Shabbos, and therefore we smell the besamim to counteract that. The more common run is the Rashbam. Most people know the reason of the Rashbam. It's because of the Neshama Yisera. So the Shulchan Aruch then says, v'im ein lo ein sarach lachzor achareim. You're out of besamim this week. You go through the pantry, nothing, everything's empty, there's no besamim. You're on a hike somewhere for Shabbos, and you want to make Havdalah, and there's no besamim. Go ahead, you don't need besamim. Right? It's a nice thing to have besamim. If you don't, what does that have to do with Havdalah? Havdalah is about marking the end of Shabbos and making a bracha so you can go and do malach and eat. That's what it's for. This has nothing to do with that, says the Shulchan Aruch. This is based on the comment of the Rush. There's no chiv to go find besamim if you don't have any, because the besamim are for the secondary issue of the neshama and not for anything to do with the actual ending of Shabbos. It's two things working together. The Ramah says in Reish Tzadi Ches, let's say you come across besamim later that night. I didn't have besamim now, then all of a sudden I come across some cinnamon sticks later at night. So in this case, he says you should make a bracha on them because it's still mostly Shabbos. The reasons of the neshama yaseira still apply. So if you can get besamim later on, then by all means make the bracha. This is the consensus of the poskim as well. I saw that Rav Shmuel Kametsky writes in the Kovetz Halachos. There's a Talmud from Philadelphia, who's a Rav in Brooklyn, who's been collecting the psukim and the opinions and the Divrei Torah of Shmuel Kanetsky and putting out a very beautiful svarim called Kovetz Halacha. So he writes in the first volume that if one doesn't have to even go to a neighbor to get besamim for Havdalah, even that's too much work. Meaning you don't have any besamim, but your neighbor has besamim. If you're not, you don't want to go outside of the house, it's too cold, says Rav Shmuel Kanetsky, fine, you don't have besamim. It's okay. You don't even have to go next door. That's how lenient we are about this issue. There's an amazing question that was asked of Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld was the Rav Yerushalayim. Everyone is always recommended to read the biography Ish Al HaChomah, which is translated by Arskol into Guardian of the Wall. a beautiful biography about him and what went on in the Old City at that time and the politics going on. So he has tshuvas called Salmas Chaim and Simin Resh Pei Aleph. So they asked him, assuming that a Mechal Shabbos doesn't get an Neshama Yisera. The questioner makes the following assumption. The questioner assumes the following point, that someone who's a Mechal Shabbos, not someone who's a Mechal Shabbos once, but someone who regularly does not keep Shabbos, do they get an Neshama Yisera? So the questioner wants to assume that they don't. It makes sense, theoretically, because the Neshama Yisera is coming for the Kedusha and the holiness and the preparation of Shabbos. But we can leave that for another time. He says, if you accept this, let's say the person does tshuva in the middle of Shabbos. They have to spell besamim. Before Shabbos, they were mechal Shabbos. They go to a Friday night tish, kumzitz, whatever it is, and they're so overwhelmed with emotions, I want to keep Shabbos.
Right.
So they smell besamim, now it's a Shabbos. So listen to what he writes. He says, "Upshita da'afilu mechal Shabbos shabab b'motzei Shabbos." He says, "Even a mechal Shabbos who comes motzei Shabbos al day his oris l'tshuva, and he has an amazing awakening for tshuva, va'osa havdala, and he makes havdala. Yivarach gam kamal b'samim. He should make the bracha on b'samim. Shekach tichnu chacham, because this is what Jewish people do. Jewish people who keep Shabbos make havdala motzei Shabbos with b'samim." Now you're from, you should make besamim, regardless of the neshama is there or not. This is the right thing to do. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchos of Rav Noiva writes in Perek Samech that if you forgot the bracha of besamim and in its correct spot, you can still recite the bracha and smell the besamim before you drink the kos. Meaning you can say bracha of Hashem v'malzim kodesh l'chol. I forgot to make the bracha of besamim. Make the bracha of besamim and then drink the kos of the wine. It's not considered a hefsek, a break in between the brachos if you are late. Now, the next question is, what if the wife of the person making havdalah is a nida? Can the husband smell the besamim if the wife is holding the besamim? Is that considered a violation of hachakos of separation? So the Badi HaShulchan, Rav Feivel Cohen, so he leaves as a tzarachin, he's not sure, but it's not, I don't think it's such a tzarachin. There's a pretty clear dividing line. The Tshuvas Beis Yisrael and the Kohen HaBosem and the Chod Shani, Rav Nissen Karelitz, Rabbi Forst, in his massive work in Hilchos Nidin, Volume 2, they all say they are machmer, the husband should not smell for the besamim, as this would be a violation of Hachakos, and Rav Vosner says it's proper to be machmer. However, Rav Adi Yosef, in his Tshuvas Yarbi Omer in Cheleches, and his Sefer Anida Taras Abaya says, the Lichat Chila, it would be preferable not to do it. That would be preferable, that would be the best thing. But for whatever reason, there's people around, and it would be embarrassing, whatever it may be. So he says in such a case that you can smell, the husband can smell the besamim, and there would be no issue over there. L'chad chila, they should just put it on the table and avoid the whole issue. And
They forgot, whatever.
It's fine. Again, it would be embarrassing to put it down in front of people, whatever it may be. Says Rav Adi Yosef, it's fine. It's not the end of the world. There's room to be lenient.
Would it be preferable for her to let him smell from her hand than for her to actually pass it to him? If you're saying you don't want to put it down because now it's embarrassing, so you have two options. You either put it down or you put it in front of his nose.
I'd probably better to put it in front of his nose. That would probably the preferable thing to do. That's because this isn't in the Shulchan Aruch, and the passing is in the Shulchan Aruch. Now, there's a sefer called Shirei Tara, and he makes the following argument. He says, because this isn't really Hana, because why do we smell besamim? We smell it for the sake of the mitzvah. Which touches on a discussion we had a while ago regarding should you make a bracha by besamim by havdalah if it's not for hana and it's for a mitzvah. We'll get back to that discussion in a second. Now, let's discuss that issue itself. So just to review quickly, we mentioned last time there's a tshuva from Sternbach in Chelik Beis and Kuf Lamadal, and he's unsure about people who smell besamim Moshe Shabbos only for the mitzvah, not hana, right? You make a bracha on besamim because you're getting pleasure. But what if you don't like the besamim that you have? You're just smelling it because you're supposed to do it, and this is what religious Jews do. But you don't really want to smell. You're just doing it for the sake of the mitzvah or the minhag. So Sternbach questions, and he quotes in the Brisker Rav, who did not smell besamim by havdalah Moshe Shabbos, because he said that, I don't really enjoy it. I'm just doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. Why am I making a bracha if I'm not getting hana? I'm doing it only for the minhag. Later on in the Chelek Rav Sternbach writes that he saw this as the minhag of the Brisker Rav, as we said, But this is not really the minhag. And then we quoted that there's a mesorah from the Chafetz Chaim. The Chafetz Chaim, Rabbi Ginsburg will bring this in the Sefer, and other people as well write that the Chafetz Chaim had such a minhag to not smell the sun by Havdalah, because either he didn't have a powerful sense of smell, or because he wasn't doing it for the sake of the mitzvah. He was only doing the Chafetz Chaim. Yeah, the Chafetz Chaim would skip besamim by Havdalah, according to many reports, because he wasn't so involved. I happen to love the smell of cinnamon, so we have cinnamon by Havdalah, and I enjoy it. I don't have a problem with it, so right. I enjoy the smell. So it's not only for the sake of the mitzvah as well. The Aruch HaShulchan writes over here in Reish Tzadi Zayin Dalet, he says, "V'lechein haminhag etzleinu levarach bori mina besamim b'shas Havdalah." We make, by Ashkenazim, we make a bori mina besamim, which is like the shahakol of birchas hareach, al kol min bosim shemerechem. No matter what you're using for Havdalah, whether it's grass or whether it's something from a tree, whether it's fruit, whatever it may be, we always make bori mina besamim. Lefish ein hakol bikiyim b'dina birchas besamim. Because as we learned here over the last few weeks, many people are not familiar with the laws of birchas hareach. Many people are not familiar with the laws of smelling fragrances. And therefore, the one time that you are going to do it, we kind of just have a cop-out and we use bori mina besamim because we're not really sure what to do anyway. Lefish ein anu murgalim b'besamim. We don't usually have spices. Now, that was in Novardik in, 1910. And maybe they did not have the supermarket selection that we have now. We have many more fancy spices, and maybe we should be more familiar with brachos on smell because of this issue.
Why do people pick cloves? We bring so many more flowers to our table, and
cloves?
Why is that cloves? Like the preferred custom?
I don't know. Oh. We mentioned before that cloves also, it's not so sure that it's besamim. I'm saying right. We make besamim regardless by Motzei Shabbos, the Aruch HaShulchan says, but cloves might be atzei besamim because it is very woody thing that people don't usually eat.
There are ground cloves, though.
There are ground cloves, true.
Put it in there.
So he says, so he says, whatever it is you use Motzei Shabbos, you went picked roses from the garden, you have a melon, or whatever it may be, you make the minhag for Ashkenazim is that we make borei mina besamim no matter what.
Use your melon. I never thought of that. You have to cut it open to really smell it.
You'd have to cut it open to smell. And then there's a whole issue by making birchas hareach by foods in general. And is that your only kavana? Is that a secondary kavanah? The Mishnah Berurah says the same thing as well. It's best to make obviously l'chatchila, one should pick something for besamim that is borei besamim. Mm-hmm. Cinnamon is always a good pick. This is the opinion.
Is it better to have the cinnamon sticks than the ground, or does it not matter?
No, it shouldn't matter. It should probably be the same thing. So this is also the opinion of Moshe Feinstein and the Sefer Masoros Moshe as well, the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, and. Great. I saw that the Sefer Birur Halacha, Rabbi Zilber, so he says, if you are a baki in Birchas Hareach, Rabbi Zilber says, if you have attended 5 weeks of Shirim on fragrances and their blessings, and you are now an expert in Birchas Hareach, so then maybe you should be making the proper bracha by Havdalah on Moshe Shabbos, because now you know what to do. You have a chart, you have everything there. It's a very simple thing. Now you know the brachos. However, I don't think that's the minhag. I saw the Sefer Vezos HaBracha. He says that we don't do that. Every Ashkenazi makes Bar Mitzvah by Moshe Shabbos, regardless of what's going on. And
Since you said Bar Mitzvah is the shahakol of fragrances, if I'm walking down the street and the flowers smell so beautiful and I don't remember the right bracha, can I say Bar Mitzvah?
If they're so overpowering and you really enjoy the fragrance and you're going over for the purpose of smelling them, one could do that. Yeah.
Like a honeysuckle can be so strong you can smell from across the street. Yeah. And I always like the smell. Yeah. So
then, that correct. If you're not sure about the bracha, you could rely on Bar
Mitzvah. Is it Bar Mitzvah or is it Bar Mitzvah?
It would be Bar Mitzvah. Bar Mitzvah. Correct.
The grasses are isvei.
Yes.
Grass is not.
At some point.
Well,
don't say
well, it depends on the type of grasses.
Grass, the fragrant grasses.
Yes.
Right. But we can say, see, you went to class.
What if
I
you're
should, but I don't.
What if you're smelling something Motzei Shabbos, but it's outside of Havdalah time? You made Havdalah, and now it's 11 o'clock at night, and you want to smell something fragrant.
And you're ready to celebrate Yom Kippur.
You already celebrate Yom Kippur. So in that case, it's clear, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchos says that you don't simply go to the cop-out Borim and Besam anymore. At that point, you should try to figure out the bracha because it's not Havdalah anymore. That Hetzer, that minhag is only by Havdalah itself. Then we also mentioned in the past, the Eliyahu Rabbah writes in Reish Tzadi Zayin that there's an old minhag to use a special spice box for Havdalah, and because there's a machlokas haposkim regarding making a birchas hareach on food. It's not so clear that every single thing that you eat, you should make a birchas hareach on, because it might be that it's not its main thing, right? So the Mishnah Berurah cites the minhag as well, and we explained from the Shir and Shabbos Hilchasa, based on the opinion of the Chazon Ish, that it might be that you have to have a special spice box for Havdalah, because it needs to be designated that this is for smelling and not for eating. Because if there's a confusion that this is the same cinnamon pack that I use for baking as I do for smelling, then maybe there's no birchas hareach, because this is something that's designated for eating and not for smelling. And therefore, it is an important minhag, as the Mishnah Berurah says, to make sure you have a Havdalah spice box, something designated for Havdalah. I don't think it needs to be silver. It could be that you go to the store and buy a box of cinnamon and mark on it Havdalah and then stick it with a Ziploc bag with everything else for your Havdalah set.
Right.
That would be fine. But it should be something that's designated for Havdalah.
The issue we have with the silver besamim boxes is that they have holes so that you can smell them, and then they also let the smell dissipate. And 1 week you take your besamim and you don't feel like you can't make bracha on it anymore.
That's true. That's true. I saw that Rav Simcha Bunim Cohen writes in The Radiance of Shabbos. That's one of the art scroll books that he wrote for Shabbos. On page 133, he says, one who used a container of spice that had lost its fragrance did not fulfill the obligation.
See.
In doing so, he also interrupted his Havdalah by reciting the invalid Borei Besamim. Thus, he must repeat the bracha of Borei Pri HaGafen before drinking the wine. And if he has other spices available, he must repeat Borei Besamim.
Later.
Yeah, you have to go back and you should do it again.
Now I'm understanding this issue that you mentioned. Because people, like if you're at a Havdalah, let's say in a shul, there's a lot of people. And if they can't pass it around because they don't have enough. So when people who afterwards take the Besamim say Borei Besamim.
Just skip it. No reason to.
But now you're saying, but you just said that you can say Besamim after Havdalah.
You can make it after, yeah. You could.
You can, but
so if you're not sure if it's going to be enough smell, if the clothes are going to be powerful enough, if you're going to like it, just to go over and shove it up your nose, just to say that you smelled Besamim.
Right. Would you say with the person making Havdalah, if he smelled it and he said Besamim? He made the bracha and he smelled it, but you never got to smell it.
Yeah.
Because it didn't get passed around or whatever.
Yeah, and then later you go over?
I'm saying if you don't go over, if you never actually smell it,
the Besamim is for you. There's no,
so that's
nothing
why,
to be yotzei.
That's why we pass them around.
The Besamim is for you.
Right.
If you get it, good. As we saw from the Chafetz Chaim, and we saw from the people, that's what the Shulchan Aruch said. Ein lo, ein sarach, lach sarach harei.
Okay.
If you don't have to, you don't have to go look for it.
And if you like the smell of Besamim, then you should.
Have a good time.
So you're allowed to, but you don't have to.
Correct. You're allowed to, you don't have to. 100%. The Shulchan Aruch continues in Reish Tadi Zayin Beis, Ein mevarachan al Besamim shal beis hakiseh. But the Gemara in Brachos and Gimel says you shouldn't use besamim that's used to cover up the odors of the bathroom.
Mm-hmm.
So the Kovetz Halachos from Shmuel Kanarski says that this applies even nowadays. Maybe in the past the bathrooms were very unpleasant, so they had all these flowers and all these fragrances there to cover it up. You'll say nowadays maybe our bathrooms don't smell as bad. Maybe it's okay to go take, you know, the potpourri from the bathroom, use that for besamim. It's not Pekovitz, like he says, to go and use it. It's certainly not appropriate as well. The Shulchan Aruch also says in Reish Tadi Zayin Dalid, Nahagu levarich al hadas kohecha de'efsha. The Shulchan Aruch says the minhag is to use hadas for havdalah when possible. This is based on a Zohar, Kadosh and Parshas Vayakel. The Zohar says that the fragrance of the hadas, of the myrtle, is the most elevated fragrance for the neshama.
Be drying your hadassim from sukkis and put them in your besamim box.
So there's also the Ramah there discusses as well, should you use it once it gets dried, it doesn't have the same fragrance. He says not to use it, it has to be something that's fresh.
Don't the Sfardim do that?
This is the Sfardim, because the Shulchan Aruch says this, the Sfardim are makbid to use the hadas for Havdalah when they're available. The Aruch HaShulchan says that. V'anachnu lo nahaganu gam bezek, ki hadasim shalanu misyavshim, our hadasim dry, v'holchem la'avdun, they get ruined, v'gam ein marichin rach bedochak, and also they don't have a really pungent smell, v'lechein lo nahagunu bezek, the minhag Ashkenaz is that we don't use hadasim, even though the Zohar Kadosh says to use them, the minhag is to use something else. Now, let's turn to those people who are unable to smell. Some people don't have strong sensitive smell. Their olfactory nerves are not working properly, and they can't. So what do we do about them? The Shulchan Aruch writes, "Mi she'enu mariach," one who cannot smell fragrances, or a person has a bad cold. right? Mm-hmm. That Moshe Shabbos. Einam bevaracha besamim. They should not be the one to make the bracha on the besamim. Elaim ke niskaven lahotzi b'nei beiso hakatanim. Only if they want to be motzi children, shehigil lechinach, who reach the age of chinach, or lahotzi misheino yodeh, or someone who doesn't know how to make a bracha. But if you cannot smell, you should not make the bracha for besamim. And this is based on the comments of the Tur and the Rush. The Rush said that if a person is unable to detect a fragrance, he should not say the bracha on besamim. The Or Zarua, one of the Rishonim, writes in that same siman as before, he cites Rav Yehuda ben Rav Kalonimus, who was asked a shaila to Rabbeinu Ephraim, if he can make the bracha for other, he himself cannot smell the smell of the besamim. The husband knows how wants to make the havdalah for the family, but he doesn't have a sense of smell. He has a cold, whatever it may be. Can he make the bracha besamim for the rest of the family? So Rabbeinu Ephraim said no. He wrote, I didn't bring it over here. He wrote, Adam she'ein mariach, a person who cannot smell, mevarach la'atzam al besamim yivarach levatalahi. It's a bracha levatalah. He can't make the bracha for other people as well. It's not like Kiddush and Havdalah, or the bracha on bread or matzah. Those are brachas ha-mitzvos. It's not just the bracha of hagafen on the wine. It's also the bracha of the mitzvah of Kiddush. It's not just the bracha of hamotzi by the Shabbos table or the matzah at the Seder. It's the bracha on the mitzvah of having hamotzi. So it's not that I can't get benefit from it, but you can. That's one level. But if for the sake of a mitzvah, I can make the bracha for your mitzvah for myself as well, right? One who is, we have a concept of Kol Yisrael Reivim Zeh B'Zeh, right? Jewish people want to make sure other people fulfill mitzvahs as well. Aval b'sam eino el minag. Is b'samim a halacha? No, what's b'samim? It's a minag. It's a nice thing to do for the neshama, but it's not something you have to do, as we explained very well. So the Tur cites his father, the Rush, who argued based on a Gemara Rosh Hashanah, and the Rush concludes, well, there's no chiyuv, the Rush feels that you can. So there's a machlokas we've shown him regarding what to do regarding this bracha. So this, the Bach and the Beis Yosef say, maybe only children, as we saw, you should make the bracha for them, but other people who have their own ability to make the bracha, they should make their own brachas when it comes to the sun. They shouldn't rely on the person who's can't partake of that pleasure himself. That would be inappropriate.
One second, you're saying it for the children because of chinuch. You're saying the children because they can't make their.
They can't make the bracha themselves. They don't have to make the bracha. They should. Their age of chinuch where they should be able to partake in the mitzvah, but they're not going to make the bracha themselves. So in that case, the Beis Yosef says that you can. Right. In that case, he would like to do it because for the sake of the mitzvah. Now, not everybody agrees to this. There's a comment of the Taz, the Magen Avraham, the Rabbi Akiva Eiger. They suggest even if you want to say that besamim is a mitzvah, and it's something very important to do. Someone who can't smell is excluded from the mitzvah, and they can't exempt somebody else with this bracha. The Aruch HaShulchan, the Mishnah Berurah seem to accept this, and therefore, halacha l'maaseh at the end of the day, the person who cannot smell should avoid making the bracha for others, and certainly not himself. The person has a cold, the person has bad olfactory nerves, whatever it is, don't make the bracha for besamim, hands over to the other
person. Has a cold. Somebody else should make the bracha besamim during his havdalah.
Or the person, people can make it themselves. They can pass it around, make their own besamim. It would not be a problem. There's two other very interesting views that are found in the Rishonim. I'm not sure they're halacha l'maisa. The Or Chaim says that someone who cannot smell can make the bracha on smells always. Why? Because they benefit his body even if he doesn't feel it, right? Kol ha-neshama ta'al. Kol ha-neshama feels it even though the body doesn't. It's a nice idea.
That?
The Or Chaim, the Rav Aaron of Lunel. It's a nice idea. But it's not halacha l'maisa. And there's also the Sefer Minhagim of Rav Isaac of Ternau. Rav Isaac of Ternau was one of the great collectors of Minhagi Ashkenaz in the period of the Rishonim. So he is quoted saying that someone who cannot smell can make the bracha on spices, because he gets benefit as well. Where does he get benefit if he can't smell? Because other people have a sense of smell and they can smell if there's a fire. And they can save him. He wants to understand that the bracha on smell is praising Hashem for the ability to smell. And since other people have the ability to smell, and they can save my life, they can smell gas, they can smell fire, therefore I should praise Hashem as well for the bracha on the besamim. Also a nice idea, but not halacha l'maisa. Then we also discuss, just to go back, we also discuss trial smells, right? You're not sure if the besamim is going to have a smell this week. You don't know. You want to make sure you're not going to be disappointed when you open up the cinnamon or the cloves to make sure everything smells properly. So the overwhelming majority of poskim say you can have a trial smell. Even outside of Moshe Shabbos, most poskim say you can have a trial smell to make sure you're going to like it or to make sure it's there before you make the bracha and really inhale deeply of that fragrance, Ravaggio Seif and the Ben Ish Chai, and a lot of poskim as well say this idea. And then we mentioned that many poskim say that certainly on Motzei Shabbos you should do this. Rav Moshe Feinstein is quoted that his minhag was to always have a trial smell of the Besam Motzei Shabbos to make sure that it had a proper smell. Because there, I need to have the Besamim. If it's during the week, I'm not sure if the spices smell properly. So then, I smell, I don't smell. What's the big deal? Mm-hmm. I don't smell the cinnamon before I put it into the cake. What's the big deal? I can still have the cake. By Motzei Shabbos, I want to have the besamim. It's part of the minhag of Motzei Shabbos.
What about when you're shopping for your besamim? Then you want to... Or if you want to check the besamim on Tuesday to see if I have to go shopping and buy a new besamim.
So then in that case, you can have
a... That's a trial. You don't make a trial.
You can... Yeah, correct. You can... that would be fine. Let's discuss the last thing, which is holding the besamim. Holding the besamim when you make the bracha. Look here at a comment of the Mordechai, one of the Rishonim in Brachos. And Oskuf Memches, Kasev Ra'avya. The Ra'avya wrote, "Umina Nishma." From here we see Shekol Bracha Al Davar Mitzvah. Whenever you make a bracha on something that's a mitzvah, Roy Lo She Achos Biyamin. It's proper to hold that item in your right hand. Right, makes sense. You're going to make a bracha on some mitzvah. It should be held in your right hand. V'chein Havdala. By Havdala, Oches Es Hayayin Biyamin. The person making Havdala should hold the wine in their right hand. And make the bracha bari pri agafen. V'shuv notel as hadas, and then they should take the hadas, the besamim, be a min in their right hand. V'hayayim the small, and transfer the wine to the left hand. V'varach la hadas, and make the bracha on the hadas, on the besamim, u'machzer hayayim lemino, and then put the wine back into the right hand for the remainder of Havdalah.
Okay,
a little acrobat work, a little dancing with the besamim and the wine. But it makes sense. The Shulchan Aruch understands this to be the halach as well. But the Shulchan Aruch says something very strange. Look at what the Shulchan Aruch adds. V'oches hayayin b'yamin, v'ahadas b'smol. The Shulchan Aruch adds a point that we don't find in the Mordechai, which is the besamim should be in your left hand waiting until it's moved to the right hand. When you start Havdalah, you should have wine in your right hand and besam in your left hand, not on the table. The Shulchan Aruch adds something that we don't find in the Mordechai, and this is his own addition, his own chiddush to this discussion, that the besam should not be simply on the table. They should be held in the left hand, waiting to be transferred over to the right hand. And this is cited by the Lavush and the Prishon, the Shulchan Shlomo, the Derech Chaim, the Chayadim as well. But what's my problem? It's not what the Mordechai says. The Mordechai just said that when it comes time for the besamim, make sure you transfer the wine out of the right hand into the left hand and pick up the besamim in the right hand. But he doesn't say you have to hold it in the left hand waiting to move over to the right hand. Why can't it be on the table?
And now you also have to put your wine down in order to put it in your right hand.
Well,
and then
the Shulchan, we'll get to this in a second.
But
the
Shulchan,
correct. The Shulchan Aruch is going to say, as we'll see in a moment, that the wine should be transferred to the left hand. Don't put it down. And then you'll pick up the besamim.
Right.
The wine should never be put down. That's what he wants to say. But we'll get to the wine in a second.
Okay.
So it's not clear why this is the case. Therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan writes in Reish Harivav Yud Zayin, Vida Tahachiza Besmol Ein Achov HaKlal. You don't have to hold the besam in your left hand. L'chein Etzleinu Ein Machzikin Besam in Europe by Ashkenazim. Nobody held the besam in their left hand. B'shas B'chasei Ayin, when they made the bracha on the wine. U'kishim Avarachan al besam, when you make the bracha on the besamim, Manichim HaKos al Shulchan, put the cup down on the table, V'notal besam, you know, and pick up the besamim. What do you need this whole dancing back and forth with the right and left hand? The besamim stay on the table until you need them, and you put them back on the table. El Dakavana Hi'ikr L'achos Hayayin B'yamin. The whole point is that we want to make sure that the mitzvah you're being used for right now should always be in your right hand. That's the point that the Aruch HaShulchan wants to bring out. The Maharil writes, V'yitpos hakos b'smo v'hadas b'yam mevarach ha-besam. This is what the Shulchan Aruch says. When you're making the bracha on the besamim, the kos should be transferred over to the left hand.
As opposed to
putting it down. Right? Therefore, the Mechaber writes clearly before that The wine cup should be kept in the left hand. This is the opinion of the Prish and the Chayadim, as we said as well. And the Ber Moshe, the Deber Tzina Rav, has very strong language in his Shuvas and Cheleches and Simin Chavches. Chalila lo lishanos. God forbid a person should change. Din meforsam muskam. Because Rabbi Hussein HaRishonim, halacha is agreed upon by all the Rishonim. V'nisav lahalacha b'shochan arach. One should be very, God forbid, person should be lenient to not hold the cup in the left hand when it comes time for besamim. The Mishnah Berurah says, why are we careful about this? Why is the Mishnah Berurah so concerned? So he says, because putting the cup down, which is a problem, because all the parts of Havdalah should be said al hakos. The whole point is that the whole ceremony, the whole system of Havdalah should be said while holding a kos to sanctify the Havdalah. If I put the kos down, then the bracha on the besamim is not being said al hakos, with a blessing of wine over it. Therefore, it should be held in the hands at all times. The Aruch HaShulchan says, no, you can put the kos down if you want. It's all about the right hand. The left hand is only to serve the right hand in this regard. It's all about the right hand holding the object for the mitzvah when making the bracha on the mitzvah. The left
so
hand...
not in your right hand anymore. Anyway, you might as well put it down. It doesn't matter if it's in the left hand or on the table.
If a person's say. What?
If you're right, you're saying it doesn't matter
this
that
is
you
a,
put it down.
So in this case, everything would be flipped for a lefty. Because this is a halacha where we care about dominance of hand.
Right. Right.
For a lefty, it would just be, everything would be
so,
reversed.
So but the whole discussion of whether you put it in the left hand or you put it down, you're saying that the ikar is to have the mitzvah
object
right hand,
in your stronger hand.
In your stronger hand. So it doesn't really matter if you've
correct.
Put it in your left hand, if you've put it down. It's no longer in your right hand.
Correct. This is the machlokus between the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah.
Because I was going to say, at this point, you have so many different customs. Like, my husband does what his father did.
Yes.
So he puts it
correct.
Down, he picks up the besamen.
So it seems that the minhag for a large part of Europe was... is that they only care about the right hand. Make sure you have the object for the mitzvah in your right hand, and the left hand is only secondary.
Who said to put it in your left hand? That was...
the Shulchan Aruch. It's not a small
he
opinion.
He didn't just say, he said, Chas V'Shalom, you should put it down.
Now, the Deber Tzina Rav, when he was at Chas V'Shalom to be go against the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch is not a small opinion. You can't simply
right.
disregard. If you have a minhag, so a person should keep their minhag. If a person has no minhag, I would say to do what the Shulchan Aruch
right.
is doing, to make sure you balance back and forth between the right and the left hand. Rav Yosef, in the Taras HaBayis, we quoted before regarding the issue with Nida, he has a remarkable statement. He says, Yesh lomar shekol shehi ocheses bebesamim shela havele kiyat arichta. He wants to say, if the wife is holding the besamim, it's as if that the wife is an extension of the husband's hand, and it's like he's holding it for the bracha. Rav Yosef wants to say that the wife can hold the besamim during the bracha on the besamim, because it's like an extension of the husband's hand.
Then he can just hold the wine the whole time.
It's an interesting idea. He doesn't really bring anything to support it,
right.
but it's certainly an interesting idea nonetheless. So, that would be the summation for Havdalah by Besamim.